this work is done today and at the last hearing, the next part of the battle begins. It's one thing to do a reparations task force. It's one thing to do a study and all that. It's another thing to actually get you reparations.
That's an activist named Chris Largeson speaking during the public comments portion of the California's Reparations Task Force meeting on Saturday. After more than a year of meetings and research, the task force approved a sweeping outline for reparations to Black Californians. The panel's report recommends a formal apology from the state and hundreds of billions of dollars in payouts to the descendants of enslaved people. These are just recommendations. It'll ultimately be up to state lawmakers and the governor to shape what any final reparations plan will look like. And joining me now to discuss is Curtis Lee, economic correspondent for the New York Times, who's been covering this. Hello.
Hey, thanks for having me, Madeline.
Great to have you. All right. So this is not the final report that comes out. July 1st is the deadline, but we got a sneak peek into their recommendations. And apparently, there are three broad categories: health disparities, mass incarceration and overpolicing, and housing discrimination. How did they come up with those three categories?
Yeah, so the committee has been working on this report for more than a year and hearing from the community, hearing from different economists. And really, this was a listening tour, and that's how they came up with these harms that are outlined in the report. Like you said, housing discrimination. Basically, they looked at a lot of redlining that has occurred in the state, over-policing of Black neighborhoods, which has led to mass incarceration. Also, the devaluation of Black businesses and property stolen through eminent domain. So really, it was a listening tour that they had all across the state, and that basically helped them come up with these different areas and these different harms outlined in the report.
And they came up with really precise monetary figures. For example, someone who is living in California and is the descendant of enslaved people could be eligible for $3,366 for each year they lived in California from the 1930s to the 1970s. So how did they come up with such precise monetary figures?
Economists really outlined kind of complex numbers and dates, and essentially they looked at the time of basically for that particular element that you outlined. They were looking at redlining and when, banks were, denying mortgages to Black people and Black families and, really kind of outlining, redlining parts of major cities all across this state. And, for that particular time, they were looking at when redlining and when housing, discrimination was so prevalent. And, not to get too much into the weeds of it, but that's essentially kind of looking at, that time frame in particular that you just mentioned.
Right. So I guess when housing discrimination was at its peak, not that it doesn't continue to this day in some form or another.
Exactly.
Also, over-policing and mass incarceration, they're looking specifically at the years 1971 to 2020, the war on drugs time.
Absolutely. Yeah, the decades-long war on drugs. And that's outlined also in the report. Yes.
Right. And so someone would be eligible for a certain amount per year of residency in California. Who is eligible for this?
So the task force really, kind of went back and forth on this. And it's been one of the more, hotly debated topics of who exactly is eligible for reparations. And the task force last year ultimately voted on and determined it based on lineage. And this is any African-American descendant of an enslaved person who was living in the United States during the 19th century. So it's really based on, African Americans who have descendants of slaves in this country. Again, this goes to lawmakers. Lawmakers in Sacramento ultimately have the final say in crafting, certain legislation, outlining, who would be eligible, who wouldn't be eligible, what any type of legislation would look like. But from the committee standpoint, that it would basically be based on lineage. That's the recommendation they're putting forward to state lawmakers in Sacramento.
And would you, from the panel's perspective, have to prove that you were a victim of any of these forms of discrimination? And how long would you have to be a resident of California?
From the panel's perspective, you would have to trace lineage and and basically, prove that you are a descendant of an enslaved person. There's a lot of things up in the air in terms of this, because this report is suggesting that a new state agency would essentially be created that would take these claims, that would basically, process, claims for reparations from Black residents in the state, and there would just be a very much a process to this. And, the details of that basically would lie in legislation that this report is suggesting that lawmakers create in Sacramento.
But the whole, endeavor of trying to prove that you are a descendant of an enslaved person could be very difficult because of, how do you find the historical documentation, for one, to prove that? Oftentimes, people, there wasn't any, or names were changed, or all sorts of complicating reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was also suggested in testimony before this committee over the past year. How records get lost, there's fires, mm-hmm. Things are just never recorded. That's definitely been an issue and a topic.
Yeah. So if they are putting all of this on the onus of lawmakers to decide who's eligible, how they're going to prove their eligibility, and how much they're entitled to, that's a lot of work on the part of lawmakers. And it's, I guess, necessarily political, because these are politically elected representatives. So what is the feeling on the part of the task force in terms of how committed lawmakers are in seeing this through?
The task force is really, some members are optimistic that lawmakers will act on this. I mean, California really was leading on this issue in terms of even creating this task force back in 2020. I mean, Congress has definitely not acted on this issue. I mean, there have been efforts, to pass a law in Congress to create a task force that would essentially create a similar task force to what's here in California. So California is really leading on this effort. And, some force members are optimistic that, something will come about, but it's just it remains to be seen. The state is also facing a clear budget deficit right now. I mean, when they passed this measure in 2020, the state was facing a surplus. Now we're in a budget deficit, and there's concerns of a recession. So there's a lot of questions remaining about, how will reparations be funded? What would it look like? And it just remains to be seen.
But there's also a whole list of non-reparations action items that they're recommending, which maybe the legislature could also focus on if they don't want to spend $500 billion, which is the estimate of how much this might cost. And a lot of these don't cost a thing, like declaring Election Day a paid state holiday, or restoring voting rights to formerly and currently incarcerated people, things like that.
Of course. And also, I mean, there's an effort in this report that would basically also have the state offer an apology to Black residents. And I mean, that is something that would not cost financially, the state any money, and mm-hmm. And has been floated among task force members as possibly being a legislation that's introduced as soon as early next year.
All right. We'll keep an eye on how this transpires. Curtis Lee, economics correspondent for The New York Times, based here in Los Angeles. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.